UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization presents Healing the Wound, Women and Peace, a program prepared and presented by Elise Gerstberger. Country has been ripped apart by war. Civilians have been hit the hardest. Snipers, concentration camps, and the organized rape of women have been some of the weapons used. According to Vesna Pesic of the Center for Anti-War Action in Serbia, women are civilians by definition, and therefore have been the greatest victims. Women on all sides of this war have been very active in civic organizations promoting peace. Vesna Pesic of the anti-war campaign in Croatia calls these non-governmental organizations islands of sanity. But women have been missing from the governmental peace negotiations. Their voices are heard only on a local level. Nevertheless, they have played a crucial role in promoting peace, and they work today to ensure that their peoples will allow their war wounds to heal so as to live in peace tomorrow. We spoke with Ms. Pesic and Ms. Terzic during a conference at UNESCO's headquarters in Paris, at which women from around the world discussed their peace efforts. Ms. Pesic recounts that her organization's peace efforts in Serbia were not met with open arms.
Most of the time we have a negative reaction. We have some understanding of certain people. Come on our protests, the Rokonsul was very successful because we had very good banks, and it was 50,000 people, especially young people, came. But, you know, when the war, somebody who's for peace in a very practical way, and trying at the same time to be objective in the conflict and criticize these sides, you know, for what they're doing, then very soon you get labels that you're not enough patriotic, that you're betraying your own nation. So the reception was not really very warm.
What I see is that the small initiatives, they are seen as sort of not being so very important. But I think that actually they are crucial. They are sort of the seeded things in conflict situations, because how I see now development of anti-war campaign and also development of peace initiatives in Serbia, this is only island of sanity. You know, I'm especially happy to have a chance to speak with Vesna Pesic from peace initiatives in Belgrade, because we have not met for 4 months and we cooperate on this project. It's on both sides. So it's very important for us to see each other and to discuss a bit how things are going and can we make some new steps in cooperation. So what is keeping sanity in situation of war? What is actually a force which is bringing broken pieces together? These are really the small things which normally people do not see as something important, you know. It's not a big deal what you're doing.
After the Second World War, we never opened up the problems, who killed who, you know, we never discussed that problem. So when you expect us now to discuss it and say, forgive me, we never do that.
The crucial thing is really to not behave like a wounds don't exist. Because what happened after the Second World War has been that a society was presented as goodies and baddies. And there has been a big immigration. Many people left the country with really very big wounds. They felt really horrible, and they waited for more than 40 years to get the chance to come back in the country with a seed of hatred and with a seed of destruction in themselves. I find as a really crucial and the most important task to speak and to give a chance to speak about all the sides, all the points of view of the crimes which happen now. And this is going to be very hard and very painful. But if you don't do it, we'll face again the situation which we had after the Second World War. Because, you know, war finished and people have been told, and now we are friends. Now everything is fine. There have been concentration camps, people have been passing trust to each other, but now they are punished, and now everything is fine. Now we built a new reality and we love each other. It didn't work out. So it came back. It's taken quite some time that it came back, but if you behave like that this time, if it happens also. So that's at least a lesson which we learned. I hope that as many as possible people learn it.
You never know what's going on, and prosecutors are made from all sides. Partly to that, you had all media propaganda. You know, this is a kind of staged thing. There was a scenario all the time going on. So everybody's thinking they are innocent. Of course, you have people who are reading a lot, who know information, and they are, of course, very critical of what Serbs are doing, like myself, like other people. But average people, they have their issues.
War is not a good thing. It's, of course, not anything what anybody would endure. But it's happening when you have a real conflict of interest, and they're not public, they're not spoken through. That's what happened in Yugoslavia. And I'm afraid that we could face a new bloodshed in 2 years, or what it may be even worse, to have continual fights on the low level, sort of, you know, low-level conflict. Few dead people each week, like terroristic attacks, like a small fight. And that's something what is not anymore visible to media. And, you know, world is forgetting about it then. But it will be a destroyed country, so many wounded people, not just the people who have been killed, who became disabled, but people who are wounded in their soul, in their heart. And they have a need for revenge.
You know, I think that war is like drug addiction. You know, I think that we'll have more and more war because you cannot stop now. This is if you stop and you see all the destruction and people become really aware of that, it's horrible, you know, because then you are going to ask why. So for the moment, I'm not optimistic at all. I really don't know what's going to be tomorrow. I think for Serbian women it's much more difficult now than it was before for many reasons. First of all, we have a very dramatic economic situation. Women, they have to organize all this family survival. For example, you have days where you couldn't buy bread, stores are completely empty, there is no food, you have to make it all, you know, at home, which you didn't do for decades, you know, to make bread at home and not to buy it. And then machines, you know, when something stops, doesn't work, you don't have money to buy new, so you have to go back and wash things with your hands instead of using washing machine. And also, the burden of war for women is that nobody's asking women, but finally they are victims of this war. And the nature of this war is against civilians. And since women are civilians by definition, of course, you maybe you have sometimes women are fighting, but most of them are civilians, are victims of this war.
I think that concerning doing things in everyday life, women is very often caring about family, and she is the one who is supposed to bring enough food, and this is getting quite an issue in Croatia. It's absolutely crucial issue in Bosnia and in Serbia also. So they are the first who see that the conditions for life do not exist in war, and we want to bring a situation in which war will stop and will be able to start any kind of new life. So I think that I would not say that it's valid for all the women or all the men, but what is happening is that women have this impulse on building links again before men have them.
Many women are not articulating what they want. You know, these peace groups that you are having, or feminist groups, these are small groups. And those who support that, they are leaving the country, younger people, everybody is leaving somewhere, nobody likes to stay anymore because there is no future. Even if the war stops very soon, you need a lot of time to recover economy and find jobs for younger people. So it's difficult. Girls and boys and younger people, they are all trying to find their way not to live there anymore. But most of the people are not articulated, not just women. Women started actually, and they have one movement we call parents' movement, where mothers were engaged very much. When the war started, they spontaneously asked their sons to come back from the army. And of course, you know, these women who are very active, they are more intellectual. Uneducated women are still living in a very patriarchal atmosphere, staying at home, in villages. Still the modern in the family is dominated by segregation between work and house, between men and women, and authoritarian system in families are still working. I must say that when we started our peace organization, Center for Anti-War Action, most of our activists were women. I don't know whether it's always so, but even now when we publish books and we write things, it's mostly women writers, and men are not so interested, even when they have these public demonstrations. We couldn't carry things and we had anyone to shout, you know, because it's so rare to see any men, you know, around us. And also, since I was for a longer time very much connected with our feminist groups, actually when we started peace groups, the feminists joined us. Women in general were much more prepared to fight for peace and to be engaged in civic organizations. My theory about that is that men, if they want to be engaged, they like to go to political parties, men seek for power, which is more rewarding than working in a civil organization. Also, they like to fit to models of the society more than women. That's it, you know. I learned from other colleagues here, women who are active in peacemaking, they also have the same experience. And in such an individual peace, women are more engaged than men. You know, I'm also deputy in the parliament. And we have about, I don't know, maybe 12 women in the parliament. You don't have much women in the politics. Making peace and negotiations, you don't see any women, only men, but all women as such, you don't see, because even I, who was very active, nobody would ask me, you know, to go anywhere, because it's Milosevic and Tudjman and Lord Owen. They're dealing with peace, and they are not inviting any kind of civil group or women who are engaged during this war to ask for advice.
Anyway, most of the time we work with women. So in Croatia, most of the activists are women. There are quite some men involved, but in most of the groups, the majority of activists are women, and they are sort of running the things. It's very obvious that they are the ones who will maybe link broken pieces. Families in which men have been fighting, trying to defend cities, and also some men and some women have been starting to work in a center for peace and try to heal the wounds of people, because it was very important to work in that time when people have been still in shelters. Actually, when you are in shelter, this is the moment to start the peace work, because you discuss with people, okay, how can we contribute that this thing stops? You know, the stopping of war, that's a big thing. It's far more than we can do. It's more like healing the wounds, what we can do. It's more like thinking about our emotions, trying to bring together any new idea how to go on, how to continue. It is a long process, 20, 30 years, and you have to build step by step, step by step. And I don't see a woman as the one who will mainly carry the process.
You've been listening to Healing the Wound, Women and Peace. The program was prepared and presented by Elise Grossman and produced by Aaron Therapy at UNESCO in Paris.